Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline is Chris Trapasso. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Trapasso. Check out his work at CBSSports.com. Chris, I appreciate the time as always, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, James. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on. Let's start with Baker Mayfield, because I let off the show, Chris, and kind of compared him, because we get into comparing these young quarterbacks to veterans in player comps, and especially during draft season. But I looked at Baker Mayfield and how he stacks up with Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or even Kyler Murray or Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson, even a Joe Burrow who hasn't had an NFL practice yet. And I look and I'm like, man, the Browns might be, they might have a guy who's on the low end if you're ranking those young quarterbacks across the NFL or the guys that are set to get drafted. Am I right there? I know you broke down Baker and all these young guys. Where does he stack among these young quarterbacks in the NFL?
Well, from my perspective, he's kind of been a roller coaster in that scouting him in the 2018 draft, I wasn't nearly as high on him as what ultimately was the consensus by the time draft day rolled around and he was the first pick. I thought he did a lot of really good things well. I loved his accuracy, his aggressiveness, but I was a little bit concerned, and this kind of came to fruition this year in Cleveland, that the system and the environment that he was in at Oklahoma, with an amazing offensive line, Lincoln Riley, to me, the most creative offensive coordinator in college football, I was worried that that environment was just the best that he was ever going to be in his football career. And I saw at times that when Oklahoma did play teams that could get after him a little bit inside the pocket, he would get a little antsy, wouldn't really know where to go with the football, drop his eyes. And we saw a lot of those things happen this year. Not so much in the last, 10 games of his rookie season, where for whatever reason, the line was better and he didn't have Odell Beckham, but he distributed the football a lot better and he kept his eyes up and was better moving inside the pocket. I would say he's probably on the lower end of some of those guys that you mentioned. But I think I saw enough good from him this year, despite the bad quarterback rating and certainly being a step back, or him taking a step back from that rookie season, that I think he can still be one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. The Cleveland Browns have to prioritize offensive line. And I think that is, you look across the league at a lot of those good young quarterbacks. And me being from Buffalo, I saw, firsthand the strides that Josh Allen made in a positive way when Buffalo really addressed the offensive line last year in free agency, signing six offensive linemen to add starters, to add depth, drafting Cody Ford from Oklahoma in the second round. And Josh Allen didn't make as many mistakes, was a lot better at the intermediate level, didn't turn into a running back as much. I think Baker Mayfield has the qualities that not a lot of quarterbacks do have, and that's the aggressiveness that I mentioned, the ball placement. He knows where to go with the football, and I thought he kind of got unlucky with some tipped interceptions and a lot of drops from his receiver group. So it's kind of the opposite of what happened last year, that after that rookie season, everyone was like, oh, my God, he's Brett Favre, he's going to take over the league. That was a little bit too much hype, based on him playing some bad defenses down the stretch. And this year, it's kind of the national consensus is, oh, he's going to be a bust. He's going to be out of Cleveland. He's on his fourth head coach. I think he still has enough natural talent. And again, showed enough in his second season to turn it around in year three and really take off for the Browns.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com, joining us. I'm James Erpine here on 92.3 The Fan. Chris, as far as Baker's struggles go in 2019, how much of that was Freddie Kitchens? You mentioned the offensive line. Certainly that there was something there to be desired. But how much of it was on head coach Freddie Kitchens, offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens, this guy who clearly was confused on the sideline and was underwhelming in his lone season as Browns head coach?
Yeah, I think that was huge. I think that Freddie Kitchens was not really good managing the clock, his decisions with play calling, and I'm usually not someone that will, you know, use hindsight and fault an offensive coordinator or a head coach when it comes to play calling. But I thought there were way too many vertical elements to the passing game or play action passes on third and long when Cleveland just couldn't protect. And I think it was in Baker Mayfield's head that when he was catching that shotgun snap, he was probably going to be under pressure. And I thought that at Oklahoma, because he wasn't pressured very often, he wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about getting through his read, where safeties were rotating, what coverage it was. And you don't want your young quarterback to get into that mold or into that idea of being worried about the rush first instead of, you know, deciphering everything that's going on down the field. So I think Freddie Kitchens was a little too over-aggressive, didn't run the football enough. We saw when the Browns offense did have some quality games, Nick Chubb was a big part of that. And I think that certainly helps Baker Mayfield. But really, though, a lot of it was when it comes to him taking a big step back with his stats, it was really a lot of tipped interceptions, way more drops than you would expect for an Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry led receiver group. And then the injury to David Njoku, and he kind of fell off. So it had a lot of personnel had to do a lot with that too. But I think offensive line, even more so than anything that Kevin Stefanski is going to do, the offensive line needs to be addressed. And that doesn't just go for Baker Mayfield. That's for any quarterback, especially someone that's, you know, still on his rookie contract and trying to learn in the NFL.
Chris Trapasso joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, last one at least on Baker here, because I want to dive into the draft with you a little bit. Is it safe to say, and I know it's only 2 years, and we saw great Baker in year one and then so-so Baker in year two, is he a quarterback that can overcome those deficiencies with time? Or do you think he's the type of guy that, depending on the roster around him, that's his ceiling? You know, his ceiling is going to depend on what's around him. Like, I know Patrick Mahomes can overcome deficiencies. You know, I know he would be able to overcome coaching issues, even though he hasn't had to do that in Kansas City. Some guys can, some can't. Baker Mayfield reaches his ceiling. What do you think? Do you think he's able to overcome, or do you think he's one of those guys that just is kind of going to go with what his roster, where his roster takes him?
No, I think he really can overcome and really mask some team flaws. And it's kind of a combination of what I've been saying, that he has that aggressive nature along with being very accurate with the football and typically knowing where to go with it. He's not just looking at one read. He can get to the second and third read in a progression if coverage kind of dictates that. But that's kind of an interesting question because, again, and certainly Browns fans know this, and if you go back and watch the film, you'll notice it again. There'll be seam throws down the field, tight ends dropping passes, Odell Beckham open on a deep corner route near the sideline, perfect trajectory over the linebacker in front of the safety drop. So I think he's not going to really be able to overcome that, but I don't think we can really expect the Browns collectively to be, not as sure-handed as they were this year in the next few seasons for Baker Mayfield. I think his aggressiveness and his accuracy can elevate teams. It certainly did down the stretch when they didn't have Odell Beckham in his rookie year, and there were a bunch of guys that were not really viewed as top-tier talents. He was elevating those talents because he will throw you the football through a tiny window and usually fit it in. But he needs to be to kind of have that secure feeling inside the pocket that he's not going to be pressured, on a longer developing route down the field where you'd really be tapping into his specialties as a quarterback.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, is with us. Chris, let's shift gears. Let's look ahead now to the NFL draft. You have a mock draft that comes out every week on CBSSports.com. You have the Browns taking a tackle this week. I know you just mentioned the offensive line. Is that a good spot, you think, in this draft to potentially take a franchise tackle?
Yes, definitely. I think after wide receiver, the offensive tackle class is the best position group in this draft class, and that's probably music to the ears of Browns fans. They can't trade for Trent Williams. I know that was kind of rumored that he was a target. He wasn't happy in Washington. That might not be the case anymore with Ron Rivera there. They can't trade for Trent Williams, and there's just usually not a lot of veteran offensive tackles that are just available, and not many that are good are available even via trade. Number 10 overall would make perfect sense, whether it be Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, Josh Jones from Houston. There's a lot of really good, big, strong, and athletic offensive tackles that look ready to be instant impact guys in the NFL. I know a lot of first-rounders at that position recently have not really fared particularly well, but this group at the top and then throughout the depth of the class in the second and third rounds, I think the Browns could and should even double up. But number 10 overall, I think they should be zeroing in and find the perfect offensive tackle that they want and pick him at number 10 overall.
Chris, another need for the Browns is certainly linebacker. Joe Schobert's status is uncertain. He's a free agent to be. And then you look, you got Mack Wilson, Sione Takitaki. It's a pretty shallow position in Berea. Who can they take? Is it something they could consider 10th overall? How deep is the position? And what do you think linebacker-wise is out there for the Browns?
Yeah, it's not a super deep position in this year's draft class. If for some reason Isaiah Simmons from Clemson, who's kind of this linebacker-safety hybrid, kind of like the linebacker version of Derwin James, if he for some reason were to fall, maybe he doesn't blow the doors off the combine in a couple weeks, I think that would make a ton of sense. I think a lot of teams would be jumping at that opportunity. It would probably even call the Browns to trade up if he lasted to number 10 overall. But in the second or third round, there's a few guys. Troy Dye from Oregon is a name that Browns fans should really remember. He's really tall, not a crazy athlete. I don't think he's going to be one of the best performers at the combine at the position, but he's awesome in coverage. And I know Mack Wilson made some plays in coverage, and maybe those strikes downhill in the run game, you know, kind of create more highlights, but you need to be able to cover as a linebacker in today's NFL. And Troy Dye, senior, very experienced, made to me the most impressive plays over the duration of his career in zone, covering linebackers. And one other guy, Akeem Davis-Gaithier from Appalachian State. That's a program that just moved in to the FBS a few years ago, and they finished being ranked in the top 20 this past college football season, and a lot of that was due to their defense. And he's smaller, super athletic, also another really good coverage linebacker that reads routes well, has the athleticism to run with those tight ends and running backs. And either of those two guys probably will be there in the second or the third round for the Cleveland Browns, and would actually, even if Joe Schobert leaves in free agency, would create a nice, young, and athletic coverage specialty linebacker group with Mack Wilson.
Last thing for you, Chris, and I appreciate the time. As far as quarterbacks go in this draft, everyone assumes Joe Burrow is going to go first overall. But how many do you have going in the first round? Because I look, and Tua obviously is probably going to be taken in the first round. You got Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, all these guys. How many do you have going in round one?
Yeah, I think four will ultimately go. I think Jacob Eason from Washington could fit in there because he's 6'6" and he has an absolute rocket for an arm. I think Joe Burrow to the Cincinnati Bengals is kind of a given at this point. Tua Tagovailoa probably to the Miami Dolphins, whether they have to move up a couple picks or not. I think they probably will, and they have the ammo to do so. Justin Herbert, there's a lot of questions about, but being 6'5", 6'6", big arm, plenty of experience. You know, maybe some teams are wondering about his leadership and if he's too quiet, if he's, you know, kind of in that Marcus Mariota in terms of his leadership. I think a lot of teams really like what he brings from a just physical perspective. And then Jordan Love is kind of the X factor that you brought up. Patrick Mahomes earlier plays with that kind of style. He's not as talented as Patrick Mahomes. I don't really think anyone is on planet Earth right now. But has that little flick of his wrist and can really push the football down the field, will make throws off platform, will try some dangerous throws that get him into trouble, but also create big plays. So I think he'll be that. There's always a riser. Baker was a riser. Kyler Murray was a riser. I think Jordan Love will ultimately fall somewhere in the first round. So probably four at this point. With, like I said earlier, Jacob Eason could maybe jump in there. But it's not, after Burrow and Tagovailoa, it's not an amazing quarterback class like we had in 2018.
He's Chris Trapasso. Make sure you check out his work at CBSSports.com. Chris, I appreciate the time as always, man. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon before the draft.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, James.
Good stuff there from Chris Trapasso. Make sure you follow him on Twitter as well. He was joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.